This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. If you've just joined me, welcome. This is Bump and Beyond, and as always on a Wednesday with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And I actually went for my flu shot yesterday at Dis-Chem. It's something me and our family does all the time. I do have to say the nurses are expert level at Dis-Chem to do the flu shot. It was only minimally painful, but it's over quick. And I enjoy it, but I don't enjoy it. I lie. I hate getting a needle stuck in my arm, but it is necessary and it's important for me. So that's a friendly reminder. If you haven't done it yet, go get your flu shot. Today though, we are talking a little bit about exactly that, preparing a little bit for the flu season. I think, not that it gets better, I do have to say maybe in some ways, but what I mean is that it's difficult when you have a baby and a toddler to gauge how sick they are when they have a snotty nose and things like that. It's very difficult to navigate. Even more so, I mean, first of all, knowing when it's necessary to give medicine is one thing. Also, then the other thing, administering the medicine is another thing. So it is a little bit tricky, kind of. And also, you know, there's also this thing of like a light fever helps them. But if it's a hectic fever, you should do medication. Anyway, I'm not the expert in this field. I'm not the expert, but I do feel I'm hesitant to say that because in the same breath, I have two children and I've administered a lot of medicine. So I do feel that I have some level of experience in this field. And I had a son with severe reflux, a son who had like stomach issues almost all the time and gets the flu. Despite the fact that we get the flu flu shot every year, he still gets a light flu every single year. So I do feel like I'm good at also sucking snot, slight expert level. But more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 Chai FM with me, Yolandi Becker, your host for Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today, I want to talk about being a little bit ready for the flu season, when to administer medication, when not to administer medication, and just to help you guide you a little bit in that regard. Again, like I said, I do feel I have quite a bit of experience in this field, personal experience, but as always, I do get in the experts to help me talk about this. And today joining me is Lizanne Archer. She's a pharmacist, but she is also the founder of Medicinitas. Go check it out. It's really a helpful little thing that you want for your house and when you travel and things like that. Lizanne, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yolandi, thank you so much. It's very nice to be on the show with you today again.
Yes. I think when your child gets sick, it's difficult. I mean, like I said, like with small babies as well, and I have felt very bad, even with older children. My son is a bit of I shouldn't say it probably like that, but he knows, I have said it to his face as well, that he's a little bit of a drama queen. He's like, he's probably got man flu when he gets this. And he's also, I feel, the weakest link in our family when it comes to illness. He's often the one that gets the sickness first. And then he infects all of us. We call him patient zero in our heart. And even with him, I have had sometimes then when he's like sick and then I'm like, oh, he can go to school type of thing. And then either a day later or something, I take it to the doctor and the doctor's like, oh no, doctor's note for 5 days, he's really sick, and then I feel bad. Or I get the same illness as him. And then I'm like, oh, this is really not a good thing to have. So I often feel bad afterwards. But I think with smaller babies, it's more difficult. And with toddlers to really guide and to see how bad it is. And even more so when it's necessary to know when they need medication.
Yes.
How do we know when medication is actually necessary? And when it's necessary to wait it out a little bit? Or what is the waited out period?
Well, basically, it's difficult with babies and toddlers, especially if they can't talk already. Because, I mean, if they are having a fever, they could probably tell you, I'm not feeling well, or my tummy is hurting, or my nose is blocked, or anything like that. But I would say I usually intervene with my toddler. He's about 18 months now, and I intervene when I see he's in discomfort. Okay, I'm not talking about fever. I'm talking about he's starting with a slight cough, the snotties and all that kind of things. Sneezing, coughing. So when do you intervene? I intervene when I see he's in discomfort. And that's what I also tell parents. So it's really a waited out situation because with children, as you know, it escalates, like you said, within a day. It goes from you can still go to school to a doctor's letter of 5 days at home. So it escalates quite quickly. And I don't know about you, but children get sicker, sicker, sicker in the middle of the night. I swear from first day till the second morning, they are worse times five. So I would say when you see the snot starting coming out and it's still clear, you can start with a saline suction and nebulizing, because we want to just keep it loose and dry it up, add a antihistamine on top of that. And yeah, like I said, the goal is to keep it loose and dry it up as soon as possible, because otherwise it goes to the throat and it's in the chest and then it escalates. If it is a flu that's already brewing, then the possibilities that he will develop a fever within the next few days. And then from there, maybe getting to yellow or green snotties, then they are at doctor level actually. So
now mentioning, there's clearly a delay between me and Lazan a little bit here. Two things for me that was quite interesting that you mentioned, which I feel is also like worth just mentioning as well to parents, especially with small children, is that I feel like for the first almost 7 years of my children's lives, so like not when they're babies and toddlers, because then they can't really verbalize what's going on, but often any kind of illness manifested as a tummy ache, their stomach is sore, even when it was something else. I feel like it was just their way. I think there is actually science that says that the nerves or something come together in that part of the body or something like that. But it is often that they say it's a stomach problem, and then we think it is a stomach, that stomach is sore, and then we think it's a stomach issue when it might actually be something else.
Yes, sometimes it's literally the chest that's hurting, but it's still their stomach, because that's the only place they can show. Yeah. So yes. But for what happens with medicine is we don't want to give combined medicine, like I don't actually want to mention names, but to give you an idea, something like a Corex or a Corenza, which has like a short-term antihistamine combined with the ephedrine for longer than 5 days. When you start intervening, start with the basic things like keeping the snotties clear, getting out of the system, and trying to dry it up. Yes.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today, we are preparing for the inevitable flu season and snot. And it was funny. To give you a glimmer of hope, I guess. I remember my kids almost like clockwork. March will start and the snotties will start. And then by September, it would clear up. And then we would have like a couple of months of like nothing. And then, like I said, end of March happens and then it starts all over again. And almost like I want to say from March till September, my kids, when they were young, always had at least a snotty nose almost. It wasn't always hectic that they were very ill or anything, luckily, but it was almost, the snot was always there. And my guest today joining me is pharmacist Lizanne Archer, and we're talking exactly about that, when to kind of gauge when you should be giving medicine, when you shouldn't be giving medicine, and to kind of help you through this, because it is very tricky when you have a small child to kind of have that. And earlier I was first of all speaking about one mentioning thing like stomach aches, that's sometimes more than that. But another thing, Lizanne, that you also mentioned with small babies, and that's for me also the tricky part is that, you know, with some children, it's just a snotty nose and the next one has pneumonia. Yes. Or it quickly escalates to something bigger. And with a small baby, things can, I mean, it can very quickly become scary, especially when we talk here, like what you said, like also with a flu, which is a fever, obviously, and fevers can be scary. And I know, like a friend of mine, her son had like an Afrikaans, you call it stapler, that they kind of get like a seizure from the fever when it's like really high. And that's, luckily I've never seen that with my children. I think I would not. But I mean, the same thing, my daughter had croup when she was young. Yes, and that first time you hear croup when they are 5 months old, that breathing and that cough, it's very scary. Or they didn't kind of get on and off croup until they're like 4 or 5 years old. I can't even remember how long it went on, but then by the third time you get used to it and you know what to do. But the first time is scary. But let's first talk about fever. It can be scary. Should we always treat a fever, or when is it okay to kind of leave it a little bit?
Let's start with what is fever and why does fever happen? It is a trigger to infection. So basically, a fever shows you on the outside that the body's immune system is actually working. So when you see your child is having fever, you can basically give them a thumbs up and say, great, your system is working and I'm proud of you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is a low-grade fever is basically a sign of that the body is managing the infection, and that it's still a low-grade infection which is manageable by the body itself. So the moment you give something like paracetamol or ibuprofen for fever, then it basically suppresses the fever, which means that the body is basically blocked to fight that infection. So imagine you are at a rugby game and the infection is running and you are about to tackle that infection because you are fever, and then somebody comes and tackles you from the side and takes you out of the game. So that is basically what we do when we give our child fever medicine. And like you said, up to one point we can leave it, and then the problem with some children is, like I said, it escalates very quickly. So I usually intervene when we get to 38.5. That is 1 Celsius above our normal body temperature. And that means that we are facing the possibility of this fever rising very quickly. So the moment I see the child is looking like he has a fever, I track the fever every 10 to 15 minutes. If I see it goes up within, let's say, 30 minutes to more than 1 degree, then I start to intervene. But because we need to remember, if the fever gets to, you leave it and you leave it, and it gets to 40 degrees, now you need to intervene. You need a lot of medicine to get that fever under control. And it's going to take quite some time to get that body temperature down. So it's basically a situation where you have to see what the scenario is. As well, did your child have immunizations? Yes or no? Okay, it could be because of the immunizations. Let me wait till 38.5, because if we give medicine, fever medicine, and we block that immunization, then it's also not going to work. That is your body's way of building up immunity against that immunization you got. So, like I said, I would intervene with when it's above 38.5 degrees.
Okay, that's a very good. I think that is super helpful because also I was lucky. Let me tell you this funny story. Very lucky. The first time my son, firstborn, had a fever, he was 17 months old. So I had a good run. I completely freaked out though. And I still remember.
Yeah, because he was deep already.
So I completely freaked out. He had a fever. I can't remember what degrees it was. I can't remember when, but I gave him Nurofen and rushed to the hospital. Anyway, by the time I got to the hospital, obviously the Nurofen had worked and the fever was down. So there was absolutely no reason for me to have rushed to the hospital. But that also comes to my next question is, can you walk us a little bit through that, the safe use of paracetamol versus ibuprofen in children?
Yes, definitely. So from when they are born, the moment they are born, paracetamol is safe for babies up to 6 months. You can start giving things like ibuprofen if the weight is correct. And then also another favorite from 6 months is actually mefenamic acid. I like to only give ibuprofen from 1 year. So mefenamic acid is actually my favorite to give with paracetamol. But we are talking now about paracetamol and ibuprofen. And for that, the dosing is very important. And I actually want to shift your next question to this question as well. And I'm going to combine it because here the weight is very important. And we always dose by weight, especially on a child actually under 2 years, but weight is very important. I need to highlight that in bold in everything. So you know what your child's weight is. And if you don't know what it is currently, then 1 or 2 months back is also fine. I mean, children don't usually pick up 5 to 10 kilograms in 3 months. It's not like that. Mm. Paracetamol is every 4 to 6 hours, which you must not exceed 4 doses in 24 hours. And then you can give, if the parent wants to work it out, it's 60 milligram per kilogram in 24 hours. But I'm sure if you Google it, you will also get that. And then ibuprofen is every 6 to 8 hours, but also a maximum of 3 doses. So in 24 hours. So yeah, that gives you 30 milligram of ibuprofen per kilogram body weight per day, divided into 3 doses. Ibuprofen and paracetamol can be given together, but I would suggest not giving it together. The only reason for that is if you max out all your doses within the first, let's say, 18 hours of the 24 hours, what do you do for the next 6 hours, let's say? So manage your fever medicine very carefully. And that is where Estelle and I, we wrote our own medicine guides. And in those guides, we have a fever tracker and a medicine tracker where we, because that is a very important part. And especially if, let's say you rushed at 17 months old, your child to the hospital, and you told the doctor, I gave him paracetamol and I gave him Brufen. Okay, ma'am, how much did you give? When did you give? Then we can figure out when we can give the next dose. So monitoring and managing that is very, very important, because if we give too close together, too consistently, we overdose your child. If we give too much, we overdose your child. If we give too little, that happens a lot. I'm so scared I overdose my child, so let me just give him, the box says, for 2 to 5 years, I must only give 5 to 10 mil. So let me give him 3 mil, then I'm very safe. Congratulations, it's not going to work. Your child is too old. So then you're messing it up again. So sorry, parenting is all about showing out your flaws and how you can do better. That is what I've come to learn in the past 18 months. So I'm sorry to tell you that again. Before you head into flu season, this is one of the very important things, and I can't say it enough. Get to know your child's weight. Know how much, though, because if you're at 12 o'clock at night, I'm a pharmacist, then I also struggle to figure out the dose to give to my child and what to give, when to give. So get that game plan going before we get into the season. Okay. Wow.
I think that's a really good advice as well. But I mean, one of the things that I wanted to ask you now, considering what you just said, I mean, if you come to, because you're now, you don't want to max out your dosage type of thing. But I mean, if you come like with a small baby and you've been giving fever medication for 2 days and the fever is still not, you have to manage that fever with medication. Don't you feel then you should be going to the doctor?
Definitely, please. And the other day I had a mom contacting me and saying her baby is 5 days old and she's been giving the Panado drops for more than 24 hours now and the fever is not coming down. A baby of 5 days, even 3 months, should not be having fever. Like I said, check out the scenario. It doesn't help you call me or stress when it is just the day from immunizations or anything like that. That is normal. But if a child doesn't present with any symptoms, I would say under 1 year, and they doesn't present with any symptoms like snotty nose, the wheezing of the chest, any of those flu symptoms, and they are presenting with a fever for more than 24 hours, please take them to the doctor. Don't even go to the pharmacy. Go to the doctor, please.
That's just what I want to say. It's like flipping out with a small baby. I'm at the doctor long time ago when I'm giving medication for such a long time on end, and it's not making a difference. But I mean, that's not making a difference. But also, so I've had it, for instance, when my son had flu when he was small. Then you would give the medication and the fever will go down. Yes. But then as soon as the medication wears off, the fever comes back and then I give the medication again and it comes down.
Yes. That is where I like to split the paracetamol and ibuprofen or mefenamic acid for that matter, because then you can overlap them with an hour. So let's say you give now paracetamol, 3 hours later you can give brufen, then another 4 hours, 3 hours later you can give paracetamol, and that's how you juggle it. And that just helps you to keep that fever down and keep that fever cycle of pain meds intact.
If you've just joined me, you're on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And I'm speaking to Lazon Archer today. She's a pharmacist. And honestly, I feel this. I wish I knew this information before. And I think you need to save this podcast afterwards, because you might have to listen to it again to make notes of all the important things. Because I feel really, like you said, Lazon, in the middle of the night, logical thinking is not there. You're not going to think of that. And if you're game ready, it's going to be a game changer. This show and all of my shows are available as podcasts on highfm.com for you to go listen to. As always, also, if you have any questions for us or if you want to be part of the conversation, of course, you can send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. I would love to hear if you have any. Have you had funny... Oh, not funny, horrible, ER episodes. Mine is funny because it was unnecessary. But any kind of shares or something that you feel is a must have with you and things like that. Often, though, another thing that I want to ask about Lazon for me is also coughs. Oh, yes. And I mean, still, even with my children being older. And then it's like, is it a wet cough? Is it a dry cough? And all these things. And I mean, if you stand on and especially even over the counter or in desk care, in front of that, the amount of cough syrup that is available, it's overwhelming for me. What should we know about choosing a cough syrup? Is it necessary to have cough syrup?
Well, So cough syrup basically just contributes to relieving the symptoms, the contributing symptoms, like loosening phlegm, opening up the chest. So it's not gonna stop the cough. Like if you give it today, the cough is gone tomorrow. Yeah. Unless you suppress a cough, and that is one thing we really don't want to do with small children. Because the moment you suppress a cough, that phlegm stays in the chest, it gets more sticky, and the child struggles to cough it out, because that's the only way to get those mucus out from the chest, is to cough it out. And it's very irritating for us, for them, for everyone. So, yeah, honestly, basically, the cough syrup just relieves the symptoms. So that is why the pharmacist will ask you, ma'am, is it a wet cough or a dry cough? Yes, it is a wet cough when there is actually, when the child is coughing and there's mucus coming out and they want to spit it out, but then they can't. And when it's a dry cough, the cough is basically just stuck inside the chest and the child is coughing, and nothing happens. Or maybe they have a nasal drip that is irritating them, and that's why they are coughing. So that is the two main reasons. And why there's so many on the shelf and you don't know which one is which is because there's a lot of generics. So what happens most of the time is they just give another generic, man, try this one, because like I said, if you don't solve the sinus problems at the top and open up the chest, then you're not going to solve the cough any case. So yeah, choosing a cough medicine, just give the pharmacist the correct info. Like, is it a wet cough? Is it a dry cough? Is it more at night? Is it more during the day? And they will choose the correct one for you, because it's very difficult to choose your own one.
I mean, honestly, like I said, even to this day, sometimes I'm like, what the hell is a wet cough and a dry? And I can't. And my kids also did. I'm like, is it a wet cough? Is it a dry cough? And then they're like, I don't know. What's the difference between a wet cough? I feel a little bit more informed. Thank you, Lisanne, for that. But are there better alternatives to kind of manage the symptoms than without medication?
To completely take away medicine is very far-fetched, because, I mean, we need some sort of medication. And in my eyes, something like even a saline rinse for the nose counts as medicine, because it's a helping aid. So you're not really anything that you can do without medication. I usually start, and that's my starting point, is nebulizing with normal Keraflow or 3% saline for especially for nebulizers. Keeping the child still, like, don't run too much. For my child, it's very difficult to do that because he doesn't like the TV. So keeping him inside, keeping him still, but try to do that, because the moment they exercise or run too much, they sweat, they get hot, their chest pumps. So yeah, keep them away from extreme temperature fluctuations. Like, it's very hot today in the sun, so take off the clothes and then we come inside and then it's cold. Or tonight the wind is blowing on the body that they just ran from. I also like the old wives.
Lisanne, I'm going to cut you off just now. We have to go to an ad break.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And we've had a wonderful talk today about preparing a little bit for the flu season, talking about fevers, talking about coughs and all those things, and how to be ready for it, and when to kind of medicate, when to worry, all those things. My guest that joined me today, Lisanne Archer, is a pharmacist. She's also a mom, and she's also the founder of Medicinitas, which you can actually go check out. It is a lovely thing to have. Lisanne, just before I say goodbye to you, one last thing. Is there one piece of advice going into the flu season? What would it be?
Yolandi, like I said, prevention is better than cure, and have your game plan ready, because it comes very, very at the middle of the night that you need to be on top of the game. So yes, that is my take home for today's show.
Great. Thank you so much, Lizanne. Before you go, where can people find you?
You can find me on info@medicinetas.com. Pop me an email, or we have an Instagram and Facebook page, medicinetas.com. And then there is also our website, medicinetas.com. So, yeah, go check it out and look out for that guides for OTC medicine and fever management.
Yes, OTC medicine, over-the-counter medicine, for those of you that didn't know.
Thank you.
I only found that out lately, so that's why I'm sharing it. Thanks, Lizanne. Have a wonderful day. On that note, joining me, as always, every week is Lizelle Farid, the regional clinic manager at Dis-Chem. Hi, Lizelle. How are you today?
Hi, Lundi. Very good. And you?
Just fine. I was in the beginning of the show sharing that I went for my flu shot yesterday.
Oh, well done.
I also got mine. So I am ready, hopefully, me and my daughter. Also on that night, my daughter also, because she's 12 now, she also went for her HPV vaccination,
the first dose,
which it has to have another, she has to have another dose in 6 months' time, which is also very important for the prevention of certain STDs as well as cancers, female cancers. So I just wanted to put that out there, guys. These are very important things to note. But Lizelle, on the note of the flu shot, I feel it's a very controversial any kind of thing, but I do it every year, or our family does it every year, and I really feel it makes a difference. What is
your opinion? Definitely. I'm a big advocate. I'll probably die on the hill of vaccines. So I've gotten the flu vaccine my whole life. My husband as well, whether he wants to or not, he's married to me. So, and now even our child has gotten since the age of 6 months. And I really do feel it makes a huge difference. And I've seen a study recently that also says it's very important to get it actually every year. The more you get it, the more you build up antibodies for, in case there's a different strain in, you know, this year or next year. So it's actually has an accumulative effect as well for getting it every year. So
then I'm glad we're getting it, because I mean, lots of people, like also for me, it's called the flu shot, not the cold shot.
Yes. I think there's also a big difference that people need to understand. Yes.
No, because lots of people often then they're like, yeah, but my kids still get sick. Even it's like, yes, but they don't get the flu. Or even my son, I honestly, almost every single year, he still gets the flu, even though we get the flu shot. But he gets it very mildly.
Yes, that is
I believe
the point.
It would have been a lot worse if he didn't get the vaccine. And the rest of us don't get it ever.
Yeah, I think people think of a vaccine as a foolproof plan. It is not always, unfortunately, but it is to prevent severe disease. You're not ending up in hospital and, getting secondary infections. So it's really just to make it, like you said, if you do get it very mildly as well.
Yeah, and then, like I said, I also feel that, it doesn't prevent you from every kind of illness that happens in winter.
Yeah.
Because that's often is like, oh, my child still gets sick. Yeah, it doesn't mean that they got the flu. They maybe got a cold, and snot and stuff like that is often bacterial infections of snot that sits in the nose and in the ear for a long time, and then it gets infected. Not necessarily, like I said, the flu. There is a difference, and know the difference.
Definitely.
Yeah. But it is readily available, the flu shot, everywhere at Dis-Chem pharmacies right now, right?
Yes, and Baby Cities, we received a lot of stock. We're very busy with it. This is probably the highlight of our years. In the Dis-Chem pharmacies, we're really busy with the flu vaccines. And we try to, even if someone comes for something else, really educate them on the flu vaccine as well.
Okay. And how early, because you now already said you're 6 months old, how early can you start giving the flu vaccine?
Yes, you can give it from 6 months of age. You only give half a dose then until the age of three. And then after the age of three, they also receive a full dose. And you can also get it while pregnant and breastfeeding, any stage of pregnancy, which really helps us then for that first 6 months where the baby can't get the vaccine, so that at least have some of the mom's antibodies when she got vaccinated in pregnancy.
Okay, no, that is great and very informative news. On the other thing that I wanted to know is, now is a good time to get it, right? Because you also don't want to wait too long before you get it, because you want, because it takes a while for the immunity to build up and you want to be ready for when it's full on flu season.
Yes, definitely. We have a lot of patients that comes in May and June, and they say, oh, I wish I came earlier because I already got sick. And that's really what it is. We want to get the vaccine and the antibodies before the actual flu season hits, so that we are ready to face it.
Yes. And I am training for the comrades, and even with me, it's safe to use, like pregnant women can get it. So yes, it is also when you're training really hard or something also, and you don't want to get sick just before comrades. And have definitely no training for it. So, yeah, get the flu vaccine. It's a good call. Lizelle, as always, it was wonderful having you on the show. Until next week.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lani. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And yo, where have you been? The show is done. We have talked about what we're supposed to be talking about, and today was a great show because it really prepared us for the winter season coming. And as I mentioned before, with my own children, I went through these, like, especially with small children, phases where they, like clockwork, March, end of March, April, the snotty noses started, and it kind of went through to September. I do have to say, now that they're older, it's not the case anymore. So just to give you a light at the end of the tunnel, it does get better, because it is also difficult, like Lizanne mentioned, you want that snottiness to come out, because it's often when those, that snottiness just sits there in the nose and the ears, and it's difficult to it can get worse, and can become ear infections and things like that. So I hope today's show helped to kind of guide you a little bit of when to give medication, what kind of medication to give. But again, you can go, there's so much resources available. And honestly, the pharmacist and the nurses at Dis-Chem, Baby City and at the Dis-Chems, are so amazing. So if you're in doubt, just ask. And they're so all over the place. It is really easy to get in Joburg and Pretoria help at Dis-Chem. There's one just around every corner, basically. So don't just ask if you're wondering, rather than wait it out. In essence, that I feel was the message today, is that with small babies, I don't feel waiting it out is really an option. You need to sort it out as quickly as possible before it gets worse. And follow your own mommy instinct as well with regard to that. I think sometimes people are like, no, man, it's not so serious. Don't worry about it. But if you feel there's something wrong, then go check it out rather than wonder about it. As always, though, I want you to take what you need from this show. Leave what doesn't serve you. And I hope that this show helped to support you a little bit. Please, please, please go check out my my own Instagram pages, Yolandi Becker. You can send me a DM them. You can also send an email to info@chaifm.com or email me directly at Yolandi. It's Yolandi with a J. J-O-L-A-N-D-I at goodnightbaby.co.za. If you've got any topic suggestions for the future, please do let me know. But we've got amazing, I'm actually really proud of the library of information and content that we have created on the show on various topics, parenting. So if you're wondering about something, or you feel we need to update it or whatever, let me know. I would love to have input from you, because this is for you. This is what the show is, to help your parenting journey go smoothly. And I really hope that it has served you. It's been so, it's so wonderful for me to be here each week with you. But yes, as always, take what you need, leave what you don't need. And most importantly, let's go out there and be kind. Until next week, goodbye.